the One-Off Technology Podcast with your host, Roy Richardson. Each week we cover topics in the news and how they affect you. Sit back, relax, and open your mind.
Hey, let's get started with One-Off Technology Podcast live. We're going, how's everybody doing tonight? All right, so tonight I want to talk about computers for back to school. But before I get started, I have some friends trivia. I don't know why. I just said, hey, I'm going to start off with friends trivia. What friend claims to make the best oatmeal raisin cookies in the world? I'll wait till somebody comes in with that. Hey, mommy, God, how you doing? Lala, how you doing? It's great to see you. I know I haven't been on Lita. A lot going on. I warned everybody August was going to be a crazy month, and it sure has. Hey, Big Red, hey, yep, we're going to talk about laptops and computers tonight, so I'm excited. Let's get started talking about that right now. It's time. We're going to start talking about it right now. I'm excited about this. All right, so first of all, hey, this is the One-Off Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Roy Richardson. I am known in some circles as a tech troublemaker. If you want to be social and find me, I'm out there as Tech Trouble MKR on Twitter and on Facebook. Again, I couldn't buy the other vowels. I'm working on it. They won't let me. And then also, if you're watching this on replay, be sure to like and subscribe. This is what I do every week on Tuesday nights. We moved it to 9 p.m. Eastern because I teach part-time and classes are getting ready to start back up. And so, well, I said, well, let's move this to 9 p.m. Hopefully, I am not past some people's bedtimes. And hopefully, I am before some people's bedtimes or after breakfast, wherever you are, depending on where you are. And you guys know who you are. Hey, Lala. Yep, great. It's great to have you here. Anyway, so let's get started. I want to talk. So it's back to school time. Maybe you have kids in school, or maybe you have kids in college, and you are thinking, "Oh man, I've got to get a laptop." Kids got to have computers, and probably by this time, your kids may already have computers, but you're trying to think, "Hey, what?" Yes, Phoebe is the answer to the friend's question. That's who claims to make the best oatmeal raisin cookies. I love oatmeal raisin cookies. Yep. So I don't know what's going on. All right, throw it back up there. Hey, mommy, I don't know why, but it's still good to see you. So I'm going to change screens here and we're going to look at my presentation. This is back to school. So here we go. All right. So what computer do you need versus what computer you want? So the problem that always happens is that we get excited and we want the fastest computer we can get our hands on. And really, it's what do you plan to run on that computer that makes a difference? What did your kids plan to use it in school for? Now, I'll talk about your kids. If you got your kids that are STEM majors and they're going to be programmers and maybe engineers, we'll talk about a laptop for those. But right now, if your student is going to be running Word, Excel, PowerPoint, their favorite browser, if that is all they're going to be doing, you almost can't go wrong on any computer you buy. Now, we'll talk about some specs and things and suggestions I have on that. And we'll talk about here in a second. So, if that's all you're running, seriously, any computer will do. And I'll show you a source where, you can go here in a little bit and save some money on computers. Do you need to install software? So, if your student's got to run Microsoft Office and they have to install it, then you may have heard of Chromebooks. You say, oh man, Chromebooks sound amazing. And they are. And we'll talk about the use case for Chromebooks here in a minute. But a Chromebook runs Google's Chrome OS, which is basically an OS, a Linux OS wrapped around a web browser, their Chrome browser. And you can't install any software on a Chromebook. Chromebooks are fantastic for browsing the web. If you are into Google Suite, as they call G Suite, you do Google Docs and Google Sheets, and Google Meet. And if you live in a Google ecosystem, then Chromebooks are awesome. And lots of school districts are already providing Chromebooks for your kids already. So this may not be a use case for you, but I do love the simplicity of a Chromebook. I'm a big fan of those, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit as well. All right. So do you love Macs? Are you going to be editing audio and video frequently? So let's talk about that. So if your student's using Word and Excel and a browser, and occasionally wants to edit video or audio, then, and they're a Mac fan, then a MacBook Air M1 with 8 gig of memory and 256 gig of storage will be fine. That will, if that's all they're doing, and occasionally editing videos, and occasionally, you know, editing audio, then an M1 MacBook Air is fine. And if you're a Mac user, so we'll talk about that here in a minute. And then, but if you want to get 6 years out of a Mac, what I find is you want to add as much memory as you can, and at least 512 of storage. So my recommendation, if you want to try to get 6 years out of a Mac, because Macs are kind of expensive. Now, admittedly, an M1 MacBook Air is $899. So in the U.S., $899 in the U.S. And so it's not like a crazy amount of money compared to other laptops. It's actually, that seems very reasonable. But once you add 16 gig of memory and you bump it up to 512, it winds up being about $1,199. And so that is a downside to that, you know, because it makes it more expensive. But I kind of look at Macs as being kind of like, I can buy a Ford Escort that has four wheels, or I can buy a BMW that has four wheels, and the BMW is going to get me there in style all the way to the end till it stops running. The Ford Escort, I'm going to get probably just three good years, and then I'm going to want to replace it. So it's kind of that kind of scenario for me. I'm a big fan of Macs, but I have been running Windows forever as well, and there are some really good Windows laptops as well, so we'll talk about that here in a little bit. Okay, so then you get the processor wars. So let's talk about that. So in the processor wars, the issue you have is in the Windows space, you have Intel or you have AMD. Any processor that is not Intel or AMD for Windows, do not get the Atom processors. You'll see like some MediaTek processors. Stay away from those if you're running Windows. Also, stay away from any Intel i3. You want Intel i5 or better, always. And then on the AMD space, the Ryzen processor is a great processor, but stay away from the Ryzen 3. The Ryzen 3 basically is their equivalent to the Intel i3 processor. Stay away from those. Those are just slower. It's a miserable experience. A lot of times, they don't have a lot of memory. They're very underpowered, and they will do some crazy, crazy things, and it'll get aggravating. Big Red says, do some colleges have specific laptop or processor they use for classes? Yes, they do. Some colleges, like, for example, Clemson University has very specific computers that they run. The ones that they recommend are ones that they have a repair shop on site for. Like, for example, you can do Macs and buy them from the college bookstore there. And then they have, I think they have a Lenovo in the Windows space that they support. And so you always want to ask colleges what laptops they recommend, because they're going to make recommendations hopefully based on what they can support on site and what they support major-wise. So, for example, if you have like some really crazy brands of laptops, you may not be able to get any support on campus. There's usually an IT group that supports the college students and their laptops. And so you want to get something that they're going to support so your kid doesn't run into trouble. For example, Clemson and the Macs, they actually could do hardware repairs right there on site. They would go and do the warranty and get the parts brought in and everything. So you didn't have to send it off to an Apple store to get it fixed, that type of thing. And I think that's also true for the model laptops in the Windows space that they support. So Mommy God says, wow, I see the specs for the life of me. I don't understand what they mean. These are great, and I'm taking notes. Yep. So this, I'm going to talk about this stuff. We'll keep going. Definitely some good stuff here. So next up, Intel i5 Gen 8 or better if you are getting an Intel computer. If you're getting a Ryzen 5 computer, an AMD-based processor, then Ryzen 5 2600 is probably the low end of where I'd want to go there, like a 3600 or better. So basically that number is like a class of that particular class of processor. So you want something. And if you go anything less than that, then you're going to have a miserable user experience. And nobody likes supporting their kids when there's homework due and the laptop is not working well. It makes you quite sad. That was another plus for Macs, is that my kids required a lot of technical support when they were running Windows. And then when they went to Macs, they didn't ask any questions anymore. So Macs just work. If you make the hardware and the software, it should work. But that's just my last plug for Macs. We'll talk about that later. But anyway, so I just wanted to cover those tips right there. Now I want to do a little browsing and kind of show you. We'll start with Windows Space here. So I've been a big fan of Dell computers. Dell laptops have been really, Lenovo, Dell, and HP make the best laptops. There are other brands as well. Asus also makes a good laptop. Acer, hit or miss. Sometimes Acer makes a good laptop, sometimes Acer doesn't. And so because of that, I try to stay away from that. Do not buy the gateways that are sold by Walmart. So Walmart invested in a computer company that used to be called eMachines, and then they bought Gateway. And so, man, you probably don't even remember this, but there used to be this computer boxes with cow spots on the sides of them. That was Gateway Computer, and Gateway made good stuff, but they're really low-end computers, and so it's just really a trade-off. You're not going to get a lot of use out of it, and if you do buy them, you may want to buy the warranty, because a lot of rumors say they last about 2 years tops is what you get out of those. So be careful about that. Now, laptop sizes. So you'll see, when we go to the Chromebook space, you'll see there's like an 11-inch Chromebook. 11-inch is great if your kid's in middle school. But I recommend, for high school and college, I recommend at least a 13-inch laptop. Even 14. 16 and 17 are too big. Any that adds weight, you got to carry it around, or they're real beefed up. Yeah, sure, great to watch YouTube on with a big 17-inch screen, but you know, just the catch there is that it's such a big laptop. I wouldn't get anything bigger than a 15-inch laptop unless your student's like an engineering student and they're going to be doing a lot of math calculations. Maybe 17, but I just don't see it as practical. I really think 13-inch to 15-inch, that range right there is probably best for most. The Inspiron series is a good laptop from Dell. They have a Latitude series. That's more of their business model. The Inspiron is more of their home user model. And so there's some drawbacks, but the Inspirons are a fairly good laptop. And I've had really good luck with them. There have been times when Dell support had fallen off, but Dell support has really gotten dramatically better. If this were 5 years ago, I would tell you to run away from Dell. But their support has gotten dramatically better. And so I can easily say any Dell computer you get is probably going to be a good computer. Because at the end of the day, it's, are you going to support me when I buy it? And, you know, say right here, we go here and do a view right here. You'll see right here, they're up to 11th gen on Intel processors, i7s or i5s. The i5 is more than good enough for general use. And notice the price here. Their prices start about $950. So you could do better on price. Let's take a look here. Another option is the Lenovo Yogi 7i. This is a good laptop. I like the 2-in-1s because they flip around the screen and turn into a tablet. And kids seem to really love that, especially if they're in the drawing on the screen and everything. And so the 2-in-1s are really neat for that purpose. I will tell you got to be careful with the hinges. It's kind of iffy. You may think, do I need to get the warranty? Big Red asked, do you see most schools going more towards computers and away from traditional ways of note-taking, aka pencil and paper? Yes. I mean, it's already happening. It's already happening. Kids get in middle school, they're on Chromebooks, and when they get to high school, it's rare you need paper. Every once in a while you might need index cards, but the world is computers. The world has gone computer crazy, and as I've jokingly said before, You either need to learn to build the robots, repair the robots, or program the robots if you want to have a job in the future, or you need to know how to secure the robots. So that's just kind of my mantra and things I say about that. So it's just something to think about. There is that. That's just kind of the nature of the world these days. Is that the world is IT. So I do like the yoga series. I'm also a big fan of the Envy. The Envy is a good laptop. You'll see this right here spec'd out with 8 gig of RAM and 256 gig of SSD storage. So do not go any less than 256 gig of storage. Luckily, on Windows-based computers, there's a lot more ports usually, and so it's easy enough to plug in, thumb drives, USB drives, that type of thing, or an external hard drive to back stuff up. So you can offload stuff, and plus, everybody does cloud. You have like OneDrive if you're a Microsoft Office 365 user, or if you are a Google Suite user, Google Docs, you have Google Drive. If you are a Mac user, you may have iCloud. So with cloud storage, you don't have to store everything local anymore. You can store it up in the cloud. It's a great way to back stuff up. And so, yeah, I mean, that's just a great way to the world goes now. You don't have to keep everything local anymore. You can keep it in the cloud. And the great thing about it is if your laptop blows up, well, hey, it's in the cloud. I can get it back really quick. So that makes life easier, doesn't it? Okay, Mommy Guy's asking, which of all these Roy would you recommend spec-wise or budget-wise overall? One for Mac and one for Windows. So we'll talk about my final specs. And I usually do the specs based off of processor and memory. And I'll tell you about some caveats. So I'm going to come to that here in just a few minutes. So hold tight, hold tight. And then, of course, I'm a huge Mac fan. The MacBook Air, like I said, if your student's just going to be browsing the web and maybe occasionally editing video and audio, then an M1 Mac rocks. It looks like, I could have sworn it was $899, but now. One thing about it, if you do the education discount, I always recommend on the Apple website two things. One is if you got a kid going to school and you got to get all the way to the bottom of the page, come on, all the way to the bottom of the page, and you want to find the education store. So, Apple Education. So shop for college or K-12. Go here. You get 10% off. So that saves you 10% on the cost, which is not quite enough to pay for AppleCare. The problem with Macs, it's getting true of Windows machines as well, Intel-based Windows machines, but Macs, whatever you buy it with, that's all it's going to ever have. You cannot upgrade the memory. You cannot upgrade the storage. It is soldered on. So if you buy a Mac with 8 gig of memory, that is all that Mac will ever have. If you buy a Mac with 256 gig of storage, that is all that Mac will ever have. So you unfortunately have to buy the Mac that you always intend to own. And like I said, if you really want to get 6 great years out of a Mac, then you probably want to bump up the memory to 16 gig. That's just been my experience with it. Here it goes, 256, 8 gig. Here's one, 512. And then you go select, and then you can go and bump up and say, I want 16 gig of memory. And unfortunately, like I said, that makes it $1,079 in the U.S. But that would be the minimum spec. My perfect world, I would at least bump up to 512 if you're going to try to get 6 years out of it. That's just if you're going to try to get 6 years. If you're just trying to get a good three to 4 years, 8 gig will work, 256 gig of storage will work. Like I said, save everything to the cloud. But if you're like me and you are a digital hoarder, where you save everything on your computer until you think to move it up to the cloud, that space kind of kicks in. I do a lot of video editing, so I had to have more storage, and I wanted to make sure the Mac lasted a long time. So this is a catch. This is a slippery question always. Is it better to get insurance with the laptop, or is it pointless depending on the life of the laptop? You have to think about it like this. If On a Mac, for example, the Mac comes with 90-day warranty and then a 1-year warranty. So the 90 days, they'll help you when anything happens in 90 days. And then you get a 1-year warranty where they, if you have a problem, they'll fix it in that year. I think there may be like a deductible you have to pay for fixing. And then they have AppleCare, which seems always pricey, but the fact that you can't repair anything on a Mac, if you really want to, if you get the education discount, then spend that extra money that you would have paid for full price and buy the AppleCare is what I suggest. I hate suggesting it, but I have used AppleCare once. That was only once. But, you know, it worked out in that case to be the right thing. And so it's kind of touch and go. If you buy a really low-end laptop, let's say you spend less than $400, I don't know that I would buy the, I don't know if I would buy the warranty. I don't. Just be aware that somebody drops it, you know, it's done. It's probably done. I always joke, laptops are good for one drop only. Funny enough, we had like a super cheap Dell we bought one time, $300 Dell laptop, and it got dropped. And the hard drive inside the machine was not mounted properly. It was loose inside the case. So luckily, my wife got really good at popping open the keyboard, plugging the drive back up, and then use it again. Because we actually sent it off to get it fixed one time and didn't realize that we could have easily fixed it ourselves. And so that was one of those crazy deals there. But yeah, you know, it's just there. It's really touch and go. There's been times when I bought the warranty and it was the best thing I did. And there's times when I didn't buy the warranty and I never used it. It is really so hard to make that value call there. I would check on your credit card. Some credit cards, when you buy something on it, will double the warranty on the product you're buying. So check and see what perks your credit card has. So, for example, I don't buy insurance on my cell phones because my credit card has a thing where they automatically give you insurance on your cell phone. And so I don't buy the insurance because the cell phone will reimburse us up to a certain dollar amount if our phone gets destroyed and we'll get another. So I don't give the phone company money for insurance because it's a credit card perk. There's also credit cards that do the same thing for other warranties. They like automatically double a warranty. So could be your credit card allows you to double a warranty and then you buy it. And yeah, so like Lala says, I always buy the AppleCare. The warranty protection has saved me well many times. Plus, there's all kind of perks. You can get, you know, Genius Bar times ago and stuff like that. So you can make a phone call and call them up and ask questions all the whole time you have the Mac. So that's kind of good from that standpoint. So let's talk about next thing. So we'll come back to Chromebooks. Well, we'll come back to Chromebooks. No, I want to talk about Chromebooks now. So a lot of times schools now are offering Chromebooks to your kids, and so you don't have to buy one. But if you like the coolness of a Chromebook, that one, it's impervious to viruses because it is, it's called sandboxing. So basically, the OS, if something changes, you reboot it and it goes right back to the way it was because they have kind of hardened it where it doesn't get viruses. And so if something corrupts it, you reboot and the image on the laptop reloads. Now, a Chromebook, you cannot install any software. If you can do it in your web browser, you can do it on a Chromebook. And you need to think of it that way. I've had students in classes that are taking a class that requires them to install some software. And they say, oh, I got this Chromebook. Can you install the software? Oh, no, you can't install software. And I feel really bad having to tell them, by the way, you can't install software on a Chromebook. You can't. You can't install any software on a Chromebook. It's strictly what works in a web browser. Now, Google does give you shortcuts for lots of apps and extensions. And so you can just double-click on it and it brings it up. And it'll do... There's lots of things that are web-based that work just fine on a Chromebook. And even Chromebooks now even let you run Android apps. So if you have an Android phone, you can actually load apps from your phone onto your Chromebook. So that's kind of cool. That's something they've added in the last couple of years. So I guess in that way, it will give you some functionality to be able to add some functionality by loading Android apps onto your Chromebook. And so that's kind of neat. But you can't install, say, for example, Microsoft Office. You can't install any maybe your favorite utilities for graphics editing, that type of thing. You just can't. This right here, the Acer Chromebook Spin 713, this is high end. So you need to really be in love with Chromebooks to get this one. But this one, there's people out there to take this as their only device everywhere to go. It's super light, has 11 hours of battery life. It's just fantastic. They take it with them everywhere. And so if you're looking for something that makes it easy for you to type, surf the web anywhere, this is really good. But if you're looking to save some money, then probably going on Best Buy. Now, I've got a link in my description to Amazon, but Best Buy has the Chromebook Duet for less. Now, look at it. This is only a 10-inch Chromebook, so this is little bitty, 10 inches. So it's really, really small. So it may not be optimal for you. This HP touchscreen Chromebook here for $200, that's also pretty good. It's a little underpowered, but again, it's only running Chrome. And so, more than enough power for what you're going to be doing with it most of the time, if that's what you're into. And so, Chromebooks are a great option if you're okay and you understand you can't install software. So, just want to stress that because I've seen so many people get tripped up by that, and I always feel really bad. I don't want anybody to get tripped up by that. Going back to if... I've had really good luck with Lenovo's, and I would probably say if I recommended a laptop right now, I would probably recommend a Lenovo laptop. The Lenovo's are really good laptops, and the Yoga is neat because the screen lets me, you know, flip it around, and I can use it as a tablet. And so it's very good, and Windows 10 has functionality built into it that lets it go into tablet mode, and it does some... handwriting recognition and that type of stuff. It's got really good battery life. This is a good Lenovo. Now, a couple catches again. 8 gig in a Windows space is kind of cutting it close. So, if you can afford it, I recommend 16 gig for Windows. Much like I do the Mac, if you want to get 6 years out of, 6 years out of a Mac, you need to go 16 gig of memory. In the Windows space, if I were going my Windows machine right now, look, Chrome browser by itself is taking up like 1.6 gig. I've got Edge running. It's taking up 2 gig. And you'll find that Windows 10 and those browsers and all the extensions, the plugins you add, are out there chewing up a lot of memory. So at times, your laptop will be sluggish. If you are an infrequent user, 8 gig is fine. But if you are like every day using that machine for everything you do, if you can afford to buy more than 8 gig of memory, I do recommend doing more than 8 gig of memory. So, the other thing is that if you go on a lower end price point, a lot of things will say they use shared memory for their video cards. So, let's talk about video cards a minute. So, this is the tripping point for many laptops, is the graphics. So, Apple has built their own kind of graphics into the M1 series, and so that's not really an issue. But, on an Intel-based or an AMD-based laptops, they have... say for Intel laptops, a lot of them will have like the Intel-based video card. And it will say it's using shared memory. So what is shared memory? Shared memory is when... Let me go to my... Ta-da! Shared memory is when you have 8 gig of memory on your computer. And anytime your video card needs to do something graphics intensive, it's going to steal part of that 8 gig of memory in order to do it. And it may steal up to a gig in order to do something that's graphic intense. So that means all intents and purposes you have 7 gig of memory left on that computer. Anytime something says the video is using shared memory. Now, on higher end laptops, graphics cards usually have dedicated memory just to it, so it's not shared memory. And so that is kind of a tripping point for some laptops. And definitely on the low-end laptops, if you buy them, they are using shared memory. They may have an Intel-based card, and they're using shared memory. Now, a little bit higher up range, you'll get laptops with NVIDIA graphics cards. There'll be lower-end graphics cards if it's a mid-range laptop. If your laptop is between $500 and $800 US, and it has an NVIDIA graphics card, then it's going to be a mid-range graphics card, or an AMD graphics card. It's going to be a mid-range, which is more than good enough for most people. Unless you are a graphic artist who lives and breathes, or you're doing video rendering because you're doing video editing, then those mid-range graphics cards are perfectly fine. But the graphics card space has gone insane because of chip shortages, which we've talked about on previous episodes, the chip shortage issue. For example, I've got some servers for the enterprise that were supposed to be here last week, and now they're not going to be here till October. A whole nother month because there's shortages in chip manufacturing because, one, COVID shut down plants, and two, companies pulled back what they had ordered-wise during COVID because they thought, well, we're not going to sell this stuff, so they weren't ready for the influx of virtual schools and virtual work, everybody working from home. And so chip demand has been way more than they expected, and because they canceled so many orders, there's chip shortages, and so it's having a negative impact on anything you buy. Now, that has a process. Even refrigerators and stoves and washers and dryers and cars, all these things have processors in, because nothing, my toothbrush has a processor in it. I wish I were kidding. My toothbrush has a processor in it. It's, I can't do any math with it, but it does have a processor. So the thing is that nothing fails to have a processor in it anymore. Everything does. And so that's something to think about. So, but anyway, the Intel Iris X graphics is a pretty decent, they're kind of a graphics card. They have a graphics card. I talked about it last episode. They have a graphics card coming out next year that's going to compete against the gaming GPUs, graphics processor units. And so I'm hoping that brings down the price of graphics cards, because I was looking to see what, like, the best graphics cards. So, like, here's best graphics cards in 2021. And so I'm looking, and, of course, they're talking about, you know, NVIDIA GeForce RTX 3080. And the price of it is only, and this is just the graphics card, this is not the computer running it, almost $1,800. You can even pay up to $2,700 for a graphics card. Why? Because these guys that are getting their hands on graphics cards are also using these for crypto mining. So your Bitcoin requires really complex math, and video cards are fantastic at doing complex math. And so this is also added to the chip shortage in the graphics card space. So really embarrassing. You go down to the bottom, you'll see like all these graphics cards. These are high-end graphics cards. These are not what your average person like me and you are going to run. If you're a gamer, then you go spend all your hard-earned money and you buy an insane graphics card. This is probably the best graphics card currently available as I'm recording this, but you see it's nearly $3,000. But, you know, if you're looking for, you know, a graphics card for a lower-end computer, then, you know, here are graphics cards in the $200 range that you can get. This is as of May. AMD versus NVIDIA. I'm more of an NVIDIA fan. I've been a big fan of NVIDIA for a long time. But, like, in this space, if I had to choose between these two cards, the 5500 XT is more capable than the NVIDIA that's at the same price point. So, you know, here's just a comparison of different processors. So I would go, you know, if I were going to buy the lowest end graphics card I want to buy these days, if I were going to get a $200 card, would probably be the GTX 1660 or higher. So the higher the score, the better. You know, so if I was going to buy a computer, and if I did gaming, you know, and I wanted to have something that would be decent gaming, then probably the 1660, or if I did video editing, I'd want a 1660. If I'm not doing video editing, then any of these graphics cards would be perfectly fine. And these are dedicated graphics cards, which your mid-range laptops, most may, some have them, some don't. They're either going to have the Intel card that's built into the CPU, or they're going to have a dedicated card much like these right here. The point being is that it's, you know, it's tough, you know, it's a tough sell. You gotta figure out what makes the most sense for me. They like the 1650 Super. That's actually a good graphics card. I'm a big fan of Tom's Hardware, which is a great website for looking at hardware comparisons and stuff. And so, we were talking earlier about CPUs. So this kind of just shows, like, you know, you can't read it. It's really, really small. I should zoom in somehow. Anyway, this is like all the way up to the way, you know, up to Ryzen 9. So Intel now has i9 processors, and they also have i11 processors. The Ryzen 9 is AMD's i9 equivalent, but the Ryzen is a better deal. So if you see a laptop with a Ryzen 5, like 3600 or better, that's going to be a pretty good laptop, a really good laptop. And so, you know, I do like those. But Intel, you can never go wrong with Intel. And so the other thing I wanted to show everybody is that when it comes to buying laptops, if you don't want to buy brand new, I recommend a website like TigerDirect.com. I have bought a lot of refurbished laptops from Tiger Direct. And so Tiger Direct is my favorite place to go to buy refurbished computers. If you need a desktop, they have desktops and laptops. But the catch is you want to find something, you know, that has a fairly recent processor. I try to stay away from anything older than Gen 7 Intel. And so a lot of times you'll have to go here and see. And you'll see they have a lot of different laptops. Asus is an okay brand, but you got to be careful. A lot of these, you know, this N3350, that's a real knockoff processor. I don't recommend. It's a Celeron. The Celeron, don't run anything Celeron. Just don't. Think of it as the same as the i3. The Surface laptops, Microsoft Surface, were good. They're good laptops. You know, if you can get like, those are pretty good. But I like to go here and just find the best I can find out here, and then that's what I'll get. Refurb is just a great way to go, because then you kind of, and then they have extended warranty you can buy there as well. And so that, where they even, you protect it from, you know, drops, you know. So if your kid's a little bit destructive, you can buy the warranty, the drop protection, so that at least they get it fixed the first time they drop it. So I'd make them pay the deductible if there is one. Some insurance have deductibles. Most don't, but some do. Make your kid, if they drop it, pay the deductible. I'm just saying. So I go here and just find, and they'll have like a refurb of the day, and you go to Daily Deal Slash, and I'll go and look and see what the, you know, best laptop refurbished. Love to get their refurb laptops, and I'll go and look here. i7 7600, that's not too bad. It's pretty decent. Look at it. It's got 16 gig of memory, 512 SSD, HDMI. It's a Core i7, so that would be a pretty decent laptop right there. $599, usually ships next day, so you'll see reviews. I will take whatever model I find here, and I will copy that, and I will go do a Google search, and I will type the word review into it, and then I will hit the internet and see what the internet says about it before I get crazy enough to buy it. PC Magazine gave it 4 stars out of 5. This is back when it was brand new, so so this is just my methodology to try to find a good laptop that's reasonable for your kids. Now, if they're in college, I do recommend buying new if you can afford it. But for high school, a good refurbished laptop, tell them up front, this is not for gaming, son. This is not for gaming. This is for doing Word and Excel and browsing and doing your homework and doing your school papers. And, you know, that way you kind of set the expectations there early, is what you get. But, you know, but Tiger, like I said, Tiger Direct is one of my favorite. If you're going to buy new, I'm a big fan of the Yoga 7i 2-in-1. I'm also a big fan of the HP Envy. I don't think you can go wrong with either of those. Dell Inspiron, you just have to kind of look at the price. I am not a fan about paying too much for anything. But I mean, 11th gen, so this is like the latest processor. So that's really a really awesome processor. But for some reason, notice it will not let you upgrade the memory. And so to me, that's a deal breaker. I want to be able to upgrade the memory on mine, to at least 16 gig in case I, you know, want to give it some oomph. And so that's something that's concerning to me. Here's Inspiron 7000. I don't want to look at the review, but, you know, 15-inch. So, Inspiron 15, Inspiron, yep. So, okay. So, I can, 12 is a weird number. Stay away from that. Things should be in increments of 8 or 16 or 24. Anytime you got 12, you see an 8 plus, there's something, there's doing something weird. It's probably the Intel, where it's using an SD card to kind of emulate extra memory. So that's kind of a weirdness. I stay away from that. But notice as soon as I add 16 gig to that one, it winds up being $1,200. So, See what the onboard. Wow, if I do it onboard, it goes up. That's interesting. Anyway, but you could drop the storage down and put the 16 gig back in. That's interesting. Won't let me change it. But Inspiron's also a good laptop. But you know, really, and Amazon does pretty good with selling laptops. Best Buy is also a great place to buy laptops. Anytime you can go put your hands on something, take a look at it. I would research it online, and then if you have the option to go in person and look at it, I would recommend doing that. Definitely good stuff. All right. That's it for tonight. Those are my suggestions. I'm open for Q&A. Anybody has any questions? Be glad to answer any questions you have about laptops or about PCs. If, you know, these days, not many people buy PCs anymore unless you're a gamer. And if you're going to do gaming, I recommend building a machine. I recommend building, Newegg and, Tiger Direct. Both of them are great places to go and build your own computer. I recommend the Ryzen processor, AMD Ryzen, if you're going to build your own computer. It's a cheaper price point, but at the same time, it's a fast processor, and kids love it. And then you like the expandability of PCI slots so that you can slowly, as the markets get less insane, upgrade your video card. There are some Ryzen chips that do have a graphics card, but it's not like a high end. It's kind of like the Intel that's in a lot of computers. It'll give you video. But it's not going to be a gaming computer with the built-in graphics card. So you need a dedicated graphics card for gaming. And so, yeah. The insurance question, I know, Big Red, I'm still on the fence that it really depends. It's kind of like, you know, I've had really good luck getting the warranty, but then I've had times where I bought the warranty and I never needed it. It's kind of where you feel like you're going to be. So you kind of think, if I get 2 good years out of it, then maybe I don't need the warranty, because maybe year 3 I can afford to go buy a replacement if it dies. But if you absolutely can't afford to replace it and it dies in year 1, then you're going to kind of wish you spent the money on the warranty. Buying a refurbished means it's going to be so much cheaper to buy the refurb and add a warranty. Like with Tiger Direct, they offer a warranty. And so that's a good way to go. Anyway, that's all I have for tonight. I really appreciate everybody that came by. If you watch on the replay, hey, like I said, be sure to like and subscribe to my channel. Really appreciate it. Hit the bell if you want to find out when I'm going live. You can see my video when it's coming on live, and you can ask questions, participate, because I am such a big fan of people leaving comments and asking questions, because this is... audience participation. Boy, I had an interesting night coming in. The camera on my computer was acting crazy. I had to reboot. This is the thing about going live. You just never know if equipment's going to go insane or if the dog is going to bark. You never know. And so, yeah, I just try my best to get good stuff out there. And just thank you. Thank you, Lala. I really appreciate it. I try so much to share as much information I possibly can and give you good information. I research it. I look it up. It's stuff I stand behind. I'm not going to tell you I feel the way I do if I don't, because, you know, I'm like, there's service after sale, so to speak. Thanks so much for everybody that came by, and have a great night. Bye. I'm out of here. Yay. This was a one-off technology podcast.
This is a one-off technology podcast with your host, Roy Richardson. Each week we cover topics in the news and how they affect you. Sit back, relax, and open your mind.